that's the worship is the means whereby we build ourselves up. Worship ought to be an encouraging experience for us. Christians who do not value worship or recognize its significance are not ready for heaven. What little we know about heaven seems to indicate to us it will be a time where we surround God's throne in worship and praise Him. Our singing, our praying, our communion helps build our relationships with one another as God's family and our relationship with Him. This is one way in which God is very active in our world, as Christ makes His presence known when His saints gather to worship. The answering of prayer is another way in which God responds to us. Have you ever had prayer answered? Have you ever asked for some desired outcome? And that is precisely what occurred. I suppose all of us have had some experience with answered prayer, or what we would perceive as answered prayer. Maybe other ways that God is active in our world today, but I think you get the point. However, going back to this question of, well, is God ignoring me? Noticing the ways in which God is active in our world today doesn't answer our dilemma, does it? You say, well, I don't disagree with any of this, David. I just don't understand how all of this impacts my suffering. I know God's active in our world today. I worship, I pray, but what about my suffering here? I'm doing all of these things, but I can't seem to reason the situation that's going on in my life. After all, hasn't God made us some promises? One of the reasons why we struggle to reason through suffering is because, well, we have this body of information that says in so many words, if you do this, then things will be well with you. In John chapter 13, 14, and 15, and 16, is this lengthy conversation Jesus has with the disciples as He observes the Passover before His death. And He makes some promises to the disciples. Promises that are well known and highly valued by Christians. John 14 and verses 13 and 14, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, doesn't that have any bearing on our suffering? Here I am asking God to do something, but He doesn't seem to be doing what I'm asking. Is He ignoring me? Doesn't He care about me? I mean, He made this promise in John 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. John chapter 16 and verses 23 and 24. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Hitherto ye ask nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. No, we want our joy to be full, and our suffering is not bringing the joy that we want, so we're going to God in prayer. Things don't seem to be happening the way we want them to happen. Doesn't He care? James chapter 5, oh, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil and in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall rise up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What about that? Well, remember Romans 8 and verse 28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And well, don't I love the Lord enough? A passage of promise. Hasn't God made these promises? Well, He has. But there's some other things that He said along with those promises. In John 15 and verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Chapter 16 and verses 2 and 33, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth that he doeth God service. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, and in the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, how do those two ideas reconcile themselves? You're going to face tribulation. You're going to be persecuted. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Those seem to be conflicting ideas. James chapter 1. James, writing Christians who were being persecuted, he doesn't give some formal introduction of kind greeting as Paul typically does. Instead, he gets right to the point. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God never promised Christians a life without suffering. God's made a lot of promises to us, but one promise He's never given any of us is that if we do His will, we'd get a life without suffering. In many ways, Jesus is the one who calls us to suffer. If any man be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. One of the great paradoxes of the kingdom, if any man will find his life, let him lose his life. And that's very difficult for us to understand, even more difficult for us to accept. But when did God rescue or prevent the faithful from suffering? Sometimes in the midst of suffering,